I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage.
Soon after Walt Disney opened his first park in 1955, he had a vision for a Main Street exhibit that would highlight the use of electricity and its contributions to progress in America. While the concept was slow to develop in Anaheim, it did materialize as a pavilion at the 1964 World's Fair in New York City. The exhibit was such a success, it was trucked back to California, where it was installed in 1967. When Disney opened the Magic Kingdom in 1975, the carousel was sent to Orlando, where it's been a feature ever since. Attendees to the Carousel of Progress sit in a theater, the stage, a giant wheel, divided into quarters. The audience sees one-fourth of the stage at a time. It rotates 90 degrees to reveal new sets. Those sets show an American family, represented by animatronic robots, living in an average middle-class home in the decades of the 1900s, the 20s, the 40s, and a projection of how Disney designers imagined life in the 21st century. The attraction has seen minor updates over the years, the most recent in 1994. Last week, Disney announced a major overhaul. Those decades will be completely replaced with depictions from the 60s, 80s, and 2000s, bringing the settings in line with the lived experiences of park visitors. This decision has elicited sharp critiques from Disney World purists. Discussion boards on Reddit exploded, one commenter posting, quote, "Yeah, it's old and a little lame, but those scenes are like a time capsule. I don't think it'll have the same impact with new scenes." Another saying, "The idea of the old scenes being torn apart and thrown in a big incinerator hurts me to my core." The nostalgic aspect of the exhibit resonated with us. We wanted to know more about the images of home that the carousel highlights. Why is interior design important to us, and how does it evolve? We asked Rachel Staley that question. Staley is an architectural designer with the firm BRPH in Orlando. She's also an adjunct professor of design history at Seminole State College. She explains when in American history people became focused on the interior aesthetics of their homes, as shown in Disney's Carousel of Progress.
I would say it's always been a pretty big focus of the home from the beginning of civilization. There's a really huge change kind of at the turn of the century where the Carousel of Progress starts today, before the change, with this rise of modernism. And I think it's really kind of important to talk about modernism in the context of American homes today because things look drastically different than they did back then. And that was on purpose. So when we look at homes kind of before modernism, which is modernism started right before World War I started, homes largely were being designed and built the way they had been since the Renaissance. And there was a school of thought about interiors and architecture that came from the Greeks and again emphasized in the Renaissance that was just kind of held in perpetuity. And then the modernists came around and these were designers and artists that were looking at all of this industry and progress that we were having as a country and thinking, like, our buildings should look different. Like, we've come so far as a civilization. Our buildings could be better. Furniture could be better. It could look more elegant. And then we see this kind of dramatic change in things like furniture and the form of buildings and the materials we're using and the pace in which we construct them. And so for me, like, that's where our huge kind of change happens.
When did it become something accessible to the average American and not to someone in the upper class?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because we think of kind of elegant interiors coming from upper classes, but there's always been a focus, especially at, like, in the trades and like heirloom furniture that gets passed down even in the lower classes. And so, I mean, you see in like mid-century modernism where there's a huge focus on like DIY interiors and like wallpaper becomes really big. And then later on in like the 70s and the 80s, where we get these department stores where furniture is a lot more accessible, it's cheaper, and styles are a lot more varied from house to house. And you get a little bit more personality like between homeowners because we have so much more media for expression in interiors.
How much of the changes are driven by popular culture? To what extent are interior design trends driven by what someone would see
in the movies or on TV.
I mean, a huge portion of trends now come from pop culture. I think a really great example of this. So as TV is becoming more popular, we're getting more forms of media and pop culture. Before that, interior trends came from studios and people would see them in magazines. But a really great example of this in the 80s is this Memphis style of postmodernism. And it was kind of a niche studio in Milan where this group of students were essentially creating all of these really bright, colorful, like fun furniture designs. And it wasn't really very well known about until recently, but you can see it in pop culture elements. So like the design for the sets from Miami Vice are heavily influenced by this Memphis design. Same with like the Nickelodeon channel MTV. So like it infiltrated more in media, and that's how kind of the average American is exposed to it. And now with social media, like we're exposed to hundreds of trends every day, and the trends we're exposed to vary from person to person based on the algorithm that you see in your social media accounts.
That makes me wonder how many of these changes, how much of the changes are driven by technology? Like there was a time when indoor plumbing would be cutting edge, electricity, phones, TVs. How do these developments drive the way we address aesthetics of our homes?
Well, we really won with indoor plumbing. I just have to say that. But historically, trends come from technology and the way we build things, as well as the materials that are available to us and the environment that we're in. A really historic example of this like trend via technology are Greek columns. So if you like picture in your head like a classic Greek white marble column, there's always kind of vertical grooves running down the length of it. That's called fluting. And the reason Greek columns are fluted is because when the Greeks built their columns out of wood, they would cut down a tree, that would be the column. In order to remove the bark and shape the column, they would use an adze and carve out the column. And in order to kind of make the columns more even and aesthetically pleasing, they created those grooves in a curated way so that they would look uniform. And then when they started building out of stone, they kept the grooves because it was aesthetically pleasing. And that's why we have those grooves in the columns. And so very early on, like colonial American homes, a lot of these trends are traditions that we inherited from colonial settlers. And that's also influenced by the materials we have available to us and climate. Climate was also a big trendsetter before we had AC and heating.
Looking at the updates to the Carousel of Progress, which is a snapshot of how Americans lived, are we losing something by having the exhibits of pre-war cycled out? Where else can you find an excited 8-year-old learning about how Americans lived in the 1900s and the 20s and the 40s?
Yeah, I mean, as a born and raised Orlando Floridian, I'm going to miss the old Carousel of Progress. But we've talked a little bit about how different homes are in America from way back when. But something that they have in common over the course of the past 100 years is the family and the sense of place that we bring to our homes. And so that, I think, is something that's pretty constant over all of these decades that they're included in the Carousel of Progress. And I think that's kind of what the ride is really focused on, is like how we bring home and closeness and family to each of these eras of time and design.
The new Carousel of Progress is going to be replaced by exhibits of homes from the 60s, the 80s, the 2000s. Can you walk through those decades with me? What are the hallmarks that made design unique in these years?
Yeah. So in the 60s, the mid-century modern style is very big. So things are very sleek and minimal and boxy and orthogonal. And we're kind of seeing furniture in a very like new and sleek fashion that's very different from kind of the pre-war eras. And then you have like very bright colors that are very prominent in that time period. And then in the 80s, I think of comfort. Everything's a lot bigger and cushier. There's a lot more texture, especially in like textiles, fabrics, curtains, colorful carpet. And then in the 2000s, I think we're all pretty familiar with those more neutral beige tones that were trending in the early 2000s.
It seems like, in a way, generations yearn for an earlier time. Is that something that you find in interior design as well? Is there a role of nostalgia in driving trends?
Absolutely. I think it's really easy for people to be kind of dissatisfied with the here and now and like what they're seeing day to day because we're just so used to it. And so I think we do yearn for a simpler time. We romanticize it as a more beautiful, more ornamented period of time. But I think what's interesting about the Carousel of Progress is it begins in a time period that's far in the past, like kind of where we began, but it ends in the future. And I think we all kind of have that nostalgia for what is going to happen and what we can create and how we can kind of make our world more beautiful and kind of right the wrongs that we're dissatisfied with now.
Rachel Staley is an architectural designer with BRPH firm in Orlando and an adjunct professor of design history at Seminole State College. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.